All right. Good morning, everyone. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Keegan. For those of you who do know me, my name is Keegan. Before we get into what we're going to be talking about today, so we've been going over 1 Peter 2:17. It's a verse that has kind of four different chunks. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And last week, we did a second round on love the brotherhood. And we talked about how the Bible really desires for us to have a servant's heart and to really serve others. And that's kind of the example that Jesus gave. So I want to ask a question. This past week, does anybody have a story where they kind of took that idea of really having a servant's heart and applied it in a way that just was you know, they hadn't really been thinking about it, but this past week they're like, yeah, I want to have a servant's heart in this area, because we really want to celebrate obedience to God's word, right? Like God really loves it when we hear His word and then we're obedient to it. So does anybody have a story about you really having that servant's heart this past week that they would like to share with the group? All right, Darren.
So this week at work, there were multiple times where we had people short in the kitchen, and it's always fun. I enjoy the kitchen, but I know no one else enjoys the kitchen to go up front, so I always go into the kitchen. But there were multiple times this week where I was like, all right, yeah, I'll do this not because necessarily I enjoyed it, but because I was like, you know what, I want to serve my team, and I know that would be the best thing to do. So that was a good example.
Yeah. Very cool. Just one other person, does anybody else have a story of that? Yeah.
My whole team quit at work, so this past week. And so a lot of the work commitments we made kind of fell on me, and doing my best to finish those commitments despite it being three people's work.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, desiring to really serve your company in that. So, very cool. So, yeah, I mean, we really want to it's good to be here and to listen to what God has to say, but you know, we really want to put things into practice, right? You know, Scripture talks about, like, if we just hear and there's no change in our lives, then basically the time that we've spent listening has been worthless, right? So we want to be doers. We want to be those who listen and do. So today we're going to be talking about fear God. And, you know, it's so funny. There's a lot wrapped up in these two words of fear God. It's also interesting that over 300 times in the Bible, it's mentioned fear in reference to God, right? And for most of us, this kind of seems odd or mismatched, because we think of God as loving and that he loves us. Why should we fear God? Like, what does this mean, right? So I'm gonna give a quote and then kind of define it, because I think this quote really helps us frame it in many ways. It's a quote from a primarily kids book, but by C.S. Lewis, and the book is written in such a way to be an allegory towards Jesus and the Bible and everything of that sort. So Aslan in the story is kind of a way of representing Jesus in telling this story. So Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe? Said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. I think that's important, right? Like, I love that perspective of, like, he's a lion. He's not safe. Like, there's nothing safe about a lion, but he's good. So you don't have to fear, right? So what we're going to spend some time talking about is, the interesting thing is the definition that of the word that's used right there, fear God. I'm going to butcher the Greek for this, but it's okay. It's phobisthe. Phobisthe. I don't know how to pronounce it, and it's okay. But the definition is to put to flight, to terrify, frighten. I fear, I dread, have reverence, I am afraid, I am terrified. That is the usage of that word. And it's the used throughout the New Testament. And the Old Testament was written in a different language, so it's not used. That word specifically is not used there. So really, like, what does it mean to fear God, right? And I think that there's mainly two parts, and I want us to be careful to not elevate one part over another in this. And so we're going to really take hold of this. But I think that there's a common idea in Christianity today that we want to elevate the awe of God, and that's kind of part of this. You know, it says reverence, the awe of God, the fear of God, in that sense of where we stand in awe of who He is, and that is a part of it. But then there's also what I'm going to call the natural response, that when we, as flawed human beings, stand before a perfect God, Our natural response is that of fear, right? The fear that is talked about in this Bible, in the Bible, right? So we're gonna pray, and I just ask, you know, hey, as we're praying, you lift up a prayer, just saying, hey, God, open my heart to hear and to learn, right? We wanna have humble hearts to hear from the Word and listen to it, really take it in, right? So let's. Let's pray some. Lord, I thank you that you are a great God, Lord, that you are a perfect God, and that you did come down from heaven for us. You sent your Son to die for us because there was no way that we could be reconciled in and of ourselves to a perfect God, but yet you made the way. Lord, and I pray that this morning, Lord, that any preconceived notions that we have, that if they're wrong, that you would remove them. Lord, that we would be okay with getting a different perspective of you if that needs to change, Lord. And I pray that we would hear the words from your word, Lord, that your Spirit would speak and that we would listen. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think it's pretty fitting that we're talking about the fear of God on Super Bowl Sunday. Because let's be honest, today is the day where America worships before the throne of sports, right? And I'm a Patriots fan, and I have been for a long time, right? Like, I'm excited about Sunday. And it was interesting. As I was really preparing for this morning, I came to realize something. This past week, I had been having the fear of the Patriots in me. Like, man, that sounds really weird. But I was reading articles about, like, anything and everything I could, right? About their coach, about the team, about what's going on, any of that, right? I was standing in awe of the Patriots this week, right? And I think this is important for us to realize. What does it mean to stand in awe of, right? What does that phrase mean? And I think it has to do with our actions. What are we, like, man, like, are we talking about? Because it's so easy, like, oh, man, like, can you believe this and that or whatever like that? We promote, we exalt something, right? That's part of standing in awe of. And then also, there's just that the flabbergastedness, right? Like, man, it's their 9th Super Bowl. Like, what, right? There's this sense of just, like, whoa. And I think that we need to have that of God. And I think in our culture, we elevate certain things to a really high pedestal, and we take God and we kind of normalize him, right? We're like, oh yeah, we have the gift of salvation. Like, that's cool. Like, there's a sense that we kind of deserve it. And I think that we remove the awe of God. We've made him normal. We've made him just like me and you. And we've removed the fear of God. So I'm going to show a picture up here in a second. It's pretty cool. In college, a group of friends of mine, can you guys see that? Okay, we're gonna knock out the black shades for a little bit. So I don't know if you can really tell. We'll see as the thing kind of darkens here. But so a group of friends of mine in college, 5 of us, we went on this cross-country trip. And we stayed at a bunch of national parks, and during one of those parks, this is Zion National Park, we did this hike called Angel's Landing. And the reason why it's called that is when, like, early days, when the first people had gone over into Utah, one of the explorers saw this spot up here that we're walking, that we're going to, and he called it Angel's Landing because he's like, only an angel could land on that. Like, humans couldn't get up to it, you know. And then a few hundred years later, people made a path and all of that sort of stuff. But what you can't, like, you can kind of tell from this picture is that, so we're walking on this path, and on this side, both sides, is a 1,900 foot drop, just straight. And I don't know if you can tell or not, but there's one rail that goes. This one kind of ends right there. So up there where David is, there's no railing on one side. There's just a railing on the other side, right? So literally about, you know, a 3-foot path with sudden death on either side, right? True. Like a 4-second later death on either side, right? And there's a guy, and I don't think he's in this picture. There was a guy that wasn't a part of our group. No. But he was pretty afraid, right? Like, this guy was shaking and trembling, and he was holding on to that railing as much as he could. He was as low as the ground as he could while still holding on to it. This dude was afraid. It was his natural response to this situation, right? Like, I was pretty scared. There was no way. I mean, you could tell all of us, we're holding that. We're not like, you know, we're holding on to this. Now, there's some people who have more fear than others. But we have to understand, like, in that situation, the correct response, the rational response, was to hold on to that chain. The irrational, the foolish thing would be to walk it with your hands, just whatever, right? Like, that would be stupid. Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, none of us do that. And that's what I think. Like, when we talk about the fear of God, we should understand that our natural response, it's interesting, you look throughout the entire Bible, when an angel of the Lord or when God appears, the natural response, the first response of every individual is to fall on their feet or fall on their face. And usually the first thing that God or the angel says is, do not fear, right? Our natural response when we, as sinful, flawed human beings, come up against a perfect and holy God who is the creator of everything is fear. Because we're like, oh, wow, I don't deserve anything, right? And what we should do as our secondary response is to cling on to the railing, to cling to the promises of God, right? We want to have that correct understanding of who God is and who we are in relation to Him, and we want to hold on to Jesus. We want to hold on to God, right? So, it's kind of a precursor. That's kind of what we're trying to understand this morning, is how we want to understand who God is and who we are in relation to it. We want to hold to Jesus. All right, you guys with me in this? Cool. So we're going to, you know, like, one of the things that you guys will notice is I think the best way that we should really learn and understand, and there's different types of teachings, is we should learn from the Bible, right? Like, if at any point in time I come up here and spend the entire time talking and there's like little to no scripture, like, please, like, challenge me on that, right? Like, we should be learning from God's word. This should not be, what does Keegan have to say? This should be, what does the Bible have to say? Right? Like, we want to be, as people, that's what we want to be learning, right? There's a lot of good teachers in this world today, but we want to be students of Scripture. We want to be students of God's Word, right? Because He is the ultimate teacher, all right? So, we're going to look at a bunch of Scripture about this, right? So, Matthew 10, 26 through 31. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's basically talking about, like, things aren't going to be great for you. Your life's not going to be super peachy and everything of that sort. And he's talking about, hey, these are stuff that's going to happen to you. Starting verse 26, he says, therefore, though, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you have whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than the sparrows. So right here, Jesus gives this exact perspective. He's like, understand, God is the ultimate authority. He's ultimately in control of everything. He knows everything that's happening on the earth, right? Like, you should, your fear, your healthy respect, your awe should be of God, not the human institutions on this earth, right? Like, we're to come underneath them as it is fitting, but we are to ultimately care about what God has to say. And then he follows that through with the promise, right? He's like, hey, not only does God control everything and he has the power to destroy the body and the soul, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So Jesus is like, your natural response is this. But remember that I have come to you and God cares about every single one of you. He's like, yes, he is ultimately all powerful, but he cares about you, right? So you have that understanding of who God is and understand that he loves and cares for you, right? So we should look to him first and foremost. Matthew 17, 5-8. Jesus has taken there's a few disciples up top of a mountain. And during that time period, this is kind of what happens. So Jesus speaking to them, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice of the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and said, get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Once again, God shows up. What do the disciples do? Boom, they're hitting the deck, right? They're like, you know, there is just this sudden understanding. Like we have in this life, you know, it says in scripture that, you know, we see kind of in a shadowy sense right now. But when we're with in heaven with God, we will see clearly and we will understand clearly. And I think when Jesus and God comes down and shows himself in these raw moments, there's that clarity suddenly with people. Boom. I mean, they hit the ground and were terrified, right? There was a clear understanding. And then Jesus, once again, he comes up and he says, do not be afraid, right? So we understand who God is, right? So Deuteronomy 6:24. So that's been New Testament. We're talking about Old Testament now. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. So we're to have this understanding of who God is. But and how does it work out in our day-to-day lives? And I think it's interesting in this verse. He says, for our good always and for our survival, that's why we should fear God, right? So there's a purpose, right? You know, like we're to understand who God is, and it does change our lives, right? If we have a correct understanding of who God is, we can have a peace that just surpasses all understanding, right? It's interesting, there's so many missionaries who've been in situations where they're getting tortured, they're getting killed, their family is in these situations, right? And they've been able to have a peace upon their face and in the way that they talk such that it confounds the people who are doing it to them. And why? Because their ultimate goal, their ultimate vision isn't the things of this earth. They're seeking after the things of God, right? Psalm 112, verse 1, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. There's a delight that we should have in our understanding of God. We should delight in what he has asked us to do, right? We should understand, like, in the same way as a sports team, right? If you want to succeed, you band together with others, and you focus on what the coach is trying to get you to accomplish, right? And when that happens, you're not like, oh, we got to do these drills again. You're like, no, we have a vision. We have a purpose. We have something that we're trying to accomplish. So therefore, you're like, yes, let's get better. Let's sharpen. Let's really go after it, right? And that's the same thing that God, you know, God, we want to have a delight in following after God and seeking after his commandments. We want to praise the Lord, right? Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So by fearing God, we get to have a longer life, right? This doesn't necessarily mean the days on the earth, but it could. But, you know, there is a reward that we receive for fearing God, right? By having that correct understanding of who he is, by really coming to him, we will have eternal life, right? We will have life after death, right? If we fear God, if we understand who Jesus is, we take that gift, and we, as Jesus says, do not be afraid. We no longer have to fear God because he's good, and he's given that goodness to us. We can have eternal life. Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So, hey, if you seek after God, you will receive riches, you will receive honor, and you will receive life. Once again, this isn't necessary. It could be on this earth, right? There is a certain amount of honor and reward that happens on this earth for the things that we do. But there's also, there's just a riches and honor through eternal life. You know, it says that we'll receive many crowns in heaven, right, for the actions that we do on this earth. Proverbs 9:10. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if we want to be wise, like, hey, it's interesting. Solomon, God, I always kind of wonder, like, I mean, God knows everything, so that's probably why. But he's like, hey, Solomon, ask me one thing and I'll do it for you, right? And Solomon's like, give me wisdom. He's like, all right, because you've asked for that, like, I'm going to give you so much other things. He gave him wealth. He gave him status and everything of that sort, right? But Solomon had a wisdom, an understanding of who God was that allowed him to just succeed in life, right, in many different ways. We want to have the wisdom of the Lord. There's earthly wisdom, and then there's godly wisdom. We want to have that godly wisdom, right? And how do we get that? Understand who God is, right? Come before him in that appropriate respect and awe and understanding. Ecclesiastes 8:12-13. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly, but it will not be well for the evil man, and he will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he does not fear God. I think that there's, right here it says, who fear God openly. Like, there's a sense of we should praise God, like in this wording here, we should praise God. We should stand in awe of him in the open, right? So, like, what we were doing earlier, singing songs, right, to God. We are praising him openly, right? We are doing so with others together. But we should really have a pattern of this in our lives, that when things happen in our lives, we give glory to God. We stand in awe of God. We don't stand in awe of man and ourselves and our accomplishments. We stand in awe of God. We say, praise God because of this, right? That should be one of the marks of our lives. Luke 1:50, and his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear God, right? So this is that second part of we have understood where we stand before God and accepted the gift of Jesus Christ. If you have done those things, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right, you now have his mercy, right? And that's the thing, like, we don't have to walk in the humanly fear. We don't have to be controlled by the natural impulse of that fear of the Lord because he has rectified us to him. So we think of ourselves, like, we understand our sin and everything, and that's why when presented with a holy God, there's that fear. But understand that when we're in heaven in eternity, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, right, that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees that completely clean, sinless person. And so therefore, we can have a full unity with God because his mercy has been extended to us. Psalm 25:12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose, right? There's a lot of choices that we run into a lot of choices today, right? And there's like, oh man, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I take this job? Should I take this job? Should I do this major or that major? There's so many choices, and we can get so, oh, what should I do? I think it's interesting here. Like, hey, if we're seeking after God, we're praising him, we're giving him honor and glory, he will guide and direct us, right? there is a benefit on this life to seeking after God. It might not always make sense or be clear, but God will instruct us. He will give us a path to walk. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. So this is talking about if you have accepted Jesus Christ and kind of, that's what he's talking to in this group here. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Like, that's a hard chunk of verses there. But I think that a large part of this is understanding that, like, hey, if you've just tried to, like, accept the gift to be free of your sin and not have to get the punishment of it, but you haven't really accepted Jesus as your Savior, that change of life, there's a very fierce, clear, harsh thing here, right? We need to really, really seek out our salvation with fear and trembling. Are we desiring God because we don't want the punishment that our sin, what we have done, forces us to deserve? Or do we really want the King of Kings, right? Because verse 31 is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Like, let's be clear about who God is. Let's not try and fluff him up, right? Hell is us getting what we deserve. Hell is us getting what we deserve. Heaven is us getting what we could never, ever deserve, but was given to us, right? We should be so excited about heaven because we get to spend eternity with God and be in his presence, right? And we should understand where we actually, like, are destined to go if it wasn't for Jesus. Acts 9:31. So this is kind of what we should do as a church. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, going on in the fear or the awe of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. So as a church, they were seeking to praise God, to understand who he was, and to lift him high. And because of that, they had peace, and they were being built up, and they understood the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to increase in them, right? I want all of those things. I want to enjoy peace. I want to be built up. And I want to understand the comfort of the Holy Spirit continuously, right? Like, I want those things. I should be praising God. I should be seeking to understand him day after day, right? And we should be doing that as a church. Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Right. So, once again, we are to show awe to God, and like, this is kind of pounding verse after verse after verse, and this can feel very heavy, and it should, right? We have to understand there is only one God, and he has given us life that we didn't have beforehand, right? We should wake up every day. We were singing a song that some people came up with years ago this morning. It just came into my wife Amy's head, and we were just singing it. And I think it's so perfect in this, right? It says, you know, I really want to thank you, Lord, for this life you've given to me. But I'm not talking about this worldly life. I'm talking about the life of eternity, right? And the gift that Jesus has given us, we should every morning be like, thank you, God, right? Thank you. We should be standing in awe of him, reverence and awe. Let's not try and change who God is by who we think he is. We want to search out the scriptures. We want to understand who God is, and we want to come before him with that reverence and awe. And it's interesting, The Bible talks about how this will happen in the last days. Revelation 4, 9 through 11. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. And he will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Right? Like, all of creation, rocks, trees, dogs, cats, everything at the end of time will give praise and glory to God, right? Because they will understand that clarity at that moment, right? And their natural response will be, God is amazing God. Let's do that today, right? Let's have that be a mark of our lives, is that every day we give praise and glory and honor to God. And then we're doing it together, Acts 2, 42 through 43. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Do we want to see God move? We should be together, right? What were they doing together? They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings, to scripture, right? To fellowship, to being together, intentionally praising God. Right, to breaking of bread and to prayer. They were praying to God, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Right, they felt a sense of awe because they were seeking after God. And then they were like, "Man, oh God!" You know, I just picture them getting together and like, "Man, I was reading scripture and God did this for us. Like, isn't that great?" And yeah, I was reading scripture and God did this for us, right? Like, there was a sense of awe, right? It's so easy to just read and be like, "Oh yeah, and God saved us from our sins and gave us every gift that could be given under heaven." Cool, right? Like, come on, like we get every gift has been given to you as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Every gift, you have it all, right? Praise God for that, right? And through that, God, you know, they saw many signs and wonders were taking place. I think if we really want to see God move, we really need to stand in awe of him. We need to praise him. We need to have that real sense of, James talks about it. It says, every good gift comes down from the Father above, with whom there's no variation or shifting of shadow. So, like, God, if you have something good going on in your life, praise God for it because he gave it to you, right? Like, we should have that attitude. We should be like, man, God, thank you for allowing me to pass this test. Or even sometimes, you know, things that aren't so good, but later on being good. I failed physics like a bunch of times, but the last time I took it, I got to take it with a woman who's now my wife, and I spent a lot of time with her. So, hey, praise God, I failed physics 3 times. Not really, but yes, but praise God for that, but I should have been a better student. Philippians 2, 10 through 11. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, right? We should glorify Jesus today and throughout all of eternity, because that's what eternity is going to be, right? We're going to be glorifying God. And so, you know, I've been talking about this fear of the Lord throughout all of this, and how as Christians, we don't have to have that. We don't have to live in the natural response. We should still understand who God is. But Jesus has come alongside and says, do not fear. So how does that happen? How do we get to that point? So we have to understand. So starting with the understanding, right? Understanding that we have gone against the plan of the Most High God, and we've decided to do our own thing. That's what sin is. We've decided to, hey, I don't care about your plan, I'm going to do my own thing. And because of that, we should receive the consequences of that, which is eternal separation from God and his full wrath upon us. But even though we were the ones who messed up, God came in and said, hey, I want you back. And so he sent Jesus Christ down from heaven to earth. He lived a sinless life, so he lived according to God's will, his plan, right? And then he died for you and me. So he didn't just die, he then took upon the full wrath of God that we should have deserved, but Jesus took it in our place so that we wouldn't have to. From that, he extends to us a free gift. He says, hey, if you trust in me, and you make me the king of your hearts, and you say, I will follow after you, I will love your word. I will seek after you. I will trust in you. Then we can be restored to God. And then we no longer have to have that natural response because Jesus comes and says, do not fear. Right? So if you haven't made that decision today, please, if there's any confusion about it or anything like that, come talk to me. Come talk to someone that you know here who you're sure has that relationship. We would love to be able to talk with you about how to go from having to have that natural fear to Jesus saying, do not be afraid, right? Like, God wants all of us everywhere to spend eternity with him. So one practical thing that I want us to think about too is that if we have a correct understanding of God, I think it changes what I'm going to call our I must statements in our brain. It might not be something that you say out loud or even really say cognitively in your brain, but your life lives this way, right? So if you're a student, you have an I must statement. I must go to class, do well on my tests and my coursework so that I can graduate. Right? Like, that's your I must statement, right? Because if you don't go to class and you don't do your coursework, you're not going to graduate, right? So every morning you're like, I must do this. As a human being, you're like, I must eat, otherwise I'm not going to keep living, right? Like that's your I must statement as a human being. We have a lot of these I must statements. And I think that when we've accepted that gift of Jesus Christ, that we should have a daily I must statement. And that is, I must spend time with the God of the universe, otherwise today is going to be a waste, right? That's a part of our natural response, right? When I was up on that cliff, I was thinking, I must hold on to this rail or I'm gonna die, right? Like, there's another picture I didn't put up here, but there's a picture like we're standing on it's a larger platform and we're all like taking a picture and there's no real railings. And I was thinking like, all right, I just got to stay in the middle. Like, if I don't go on the edge, we had a few people who are a little bit more courageous than I was, and they went closer to the edge. But I was thinking, I must stay in the middle because I was like, I need to stay alive. So I'm going to stay in the middle. I must do this, right? Because of my understanding, I had a course of action. And I think that's true of us, right? I must understand what God has to say through his word. I must spend time with him. I must be with him. Otherwise, my day is going to be a waste. So I want to close off with a kind of funny story about fear. So in high school, I was a pretty good student in high school. My senior year, a group of friends and I decided that we were going to do a senior prank. And we were all like IBAP students, so we were like, well, we can't do anything that's like too damaging. So like we came up with like these series of things that we were going to do as our senior prank, and we like, you know, okay, hey, you get this first section, then the second section. So like we like tiered it, like when we were gonna do it over this course of the night, and we had like different groups, and like we like really planned this out, right? So my group, we were spray painting things that like grass, and we like wrapped things in saran wrap and then spray painted them so as not to cause any real damage. So we got there at like 2 a.m. and we're like doing all of this sort of stuff. And we're finishing up. There was this big grassy hill right next to the parking lot and the buildings. And we were spray painting the class of 2018 on the grass. And right near the end of it, the police showed up. And we just booked it, right? Like, I was kind of not paying attention, and like the cop car got like within like 10 feet of me before I really understood, like my friends are yelling. And so because of the fear that gripped me at that moment, I took off running and went towards the football field, and we had those like, 8-foot fences. And I hit that thing in one leap, one foot on the fence, two hands on it, and just popped right over the railing. I mean, just like, boom, was off. And it was kind of funny because the police officer like gets out, he starts to run, then realizes that we're like halfway across the football field, gets back in his car, goes on the radio and he's like, please stop. So of course we did. No, I'm just kidding. But like there was an action that happened because of fear, right? Like, and it consumed me at that moment, right? There was nothing else. I was just like, get out, run, go, flee. And we need to, in that same sense, we should have a consuming, like God's understanding, like the understanding of who God is should change our lives and our actions. If it doesn't, then we, like, what are, you know, if I had just stood there and like, I mean, don't run for the cops. That's not what I'm saying. Don't, but like, there would have been no change in my life at that moment, right? We should have actions. Our fear should, our understanding of God should change our lives, right? And it should cause us to move. So, don't run from the cops, but fear God. So we're gonna pray, and then the band's gonna come back up. Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, yeah, you are a mighty and fierce God, but yet you came to us, you gave us your gift of life, and Lord, we want to seek after you, Lord. We want to have that desire, Lord. And I pray that every day we would wake up and say, "You are King, Lord. Thank you for this life you've given to me, Lord." And I do pray for those who might not know you, who might not understand you, Lord, that your Spirit would move and make that clear to them today. And Lord, I pray that as a church we would just have just this heart to really be about your Word and seeking after you, Lord, and we ask that you would guide us in this and your Spirit would move in us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Nice. If you guys want to stand on up, we're going to sing a song. Again, praising God.